Thank you for joining Jennifer Schaff and Associates in our 2019 webinar Wednesday series. We are coming to you live from downtown Washington, D.C. Our webinars are every Wednesday, and you can find the upcoming schedule on our website. Past webinars and all recordings are also on our website and on our YouTube channel, along with over 160 other recordings on federal contracting topics. All are complimentary. If you have questions for our speaker today, you can email him directly with the contact information you see on the last slide. All right, this is just a little bit about us. We are a Washington, D.C.-based firm and provide services to federal contractors. This ranges from market analysis reports to proposal writing and also post-award compliance. More information is on our website, so please visit us there. These are a couple events, so you can find more information on our website. We do offer newsletter advertising, so you can reach out to this email if you would like more information on that. All right, our speaker today is Mark Amadeo, and he's going to be covering leveraging debris to relationship building. Thank you for joining us, Mark, and I'm going to go ahead and hand it over to you.
Great, thank you. Thanks, Mallory. Hi, everybody, and thanks again for joining us today for our webinar, Leveraging Debriefs for Relationship Building. So in this webinar, we're going to talk very briefly about how to leverage or make the most out of a debrief session. So in our last webinar in this webinar series, which was called Debriefs, Understanding the Rules, we covered some of the basic rules on debriefs. And if you'd like more information about those rules, please go ahead and check out that webinar. But we said that debriefs must be requested by offerors in writing. Debrief requests must be submitted within 3 days of an exclusion from competition or an award notification. And debriefs must provide offerors certain minimum information in order to help them understand the basis for the award or the exclusion decision. And getting that understanding for why an award was made or an offer was not accepted is one of the main goals of a debrief. And the other main goal is to get enough information about how the agency decision was made in order to see if there are adequate grounds for filing a protest. Next slide, please. So there are things that contractors can and should do in advance in order to make the most out of the debriefing session. Now, the first thing that contractors can do is request that the debriefing be done orally. That can be either face-to-face or by phone. Now, while it's true that agencies have discretion to conduct the debrief orally or in writing or however they want, there's nothing preventing a contractor from asking for a debrief to be in person or over the phone. And at worst, all an agency can do is say they will, you know, they can't accommodate that request. Now, an in-person debrief is a rare opportunity for contractors to talk directly with or to meet face-to-face with the agency decision makers that actually evaluate bids and offers. So it's worth pursuing. Next slide, please. Another thing that contractors can do in advance to make the most out of the debriefing session is to ask for information from the agency in advance. And we just said agencies have to provide certain minimum information. Well, in order to make the debrief as productive as possible, it can help to ask for summaries of that information in advance. That way, contractors don't spend valuable minutes digesting and reacting to the information that may be coming at them for the first time. So the summaries of information that they can ask for are things like a summary of the agency's rationale, or a summary of technical ratings if they're applicable. And for post-award debriefs, an overall ranking of the offerors. And again, the agency has to provide the information at the debriefing. So it may be willing to provide some of it or a summary of it beforehand. Next slide, please. Now, one other thing that contractors can or should do is prepare specific questions in advance of the debriefing. Now, there's a mistake that contractors can make when they go into an oral debriefing. And that is, once they've digested the information that they've gotten, they focus exclusively on the areas in the debrief that they think the agency got wrong. And that may be maybe perhaps a fact or a technical specification or how part of a deliverable will perform. And it's all in good to flesh out errors in the evaluation. But contractors that only do this run the risk of telegraphing that they are there only because they want to protest. But again, this is a rare opportunity to meet with a customer's decision makers. And unlike customers that turn down a supplier or vendor in the private marketplace, for disappointed bidders, these customers have to make time to meet with you. They have to explain why they rejected you, and they have to try to answer all your reasonable questions. So contractors shouldn't squander this time, especially if they are serious about putting together the best offers on the table on an ongoing basis. And the best way that they can avoid squandering this time is, again, by preparing their questions in advance. Now, there are a number of good questions that contractors can ask depending on the solicitation and proposal. But one of the things that may help is grouping questions by the evaluation factors and the considerations that the agency said it was going to use in its solicitation. That way, the contractor can tick things off in real time during the debrief when it asks questions to see if the agency actually followed through on how it said it would evaluate the proposal. And some of the best questions that contractors can ask are broad and open-ended questions, like, for example, asking for a general description of the evaluation process. Other good questions can be more specific to the proposal, like what were the strengths and weaknesses of the proposal? Did the proposal meet all of the technical requirements? And did it fail to address any of the solicitation requirements? You know, contractors also may want to ask about their performance rating and evaluation. And lastly, a question that should never, ever, ever go unasked is, how could the proposal have been improved or made better? Next slide, please. Now, there may be some time constraints on the debriefing, so contractors need to be very prepared by the time they arrive, especially if they haven't gotten any feedback at all before the debriefing. And they may be getting new information thrown at them. So whatever the goal a contractor may have, whether it's simply to better understand the evaluation decision or whether it is to determine if a protest should be submitted, the contractor needs to get as much information as possible in the time that's reserved. And so contractors shouldn't waste any of that time fumbling through the solicitation or its proposal. So one of the things that contractors can do is study carefully the solicitation, its proposals, and the award notification. They can also prepare annotated excerpts of the relevant portions of the solicitation or proposal. That way, a contractor has all of the information that it wants to go over right at its fingertips. Next slide, please. So one of the most important ways that contractors can make the most out of an oral debriefing is to focus on their demeanor and tone. Again, if a contractor has never had an in-person or face-to-face contact with the contracting officer or the agency, well, this is it. And all the marketing rules about making first impressions with your customer apply. So it may be helpful as a contractor approaches the debriefing to keep a few things in mind and to really internalize them so they don't fall into the trap of simply reacting defensively at the debriefing. So first thing to keep in mind is this won't be the agency's last solicitation. And I think the contractors that get the most out of debriefings understand this, even when they go in thinking that a protest is likely. So while there may be a loss this time around, Smart contractors are always positioning themselves for the next opportunity. Second, contractors should go in aspiring to be as professional as possible. You know, be courteous and polite and not rude. Keep sarcasm at a minimum. The third thing that contractors should do or don't do is don't argue. So even if a contractor is leaning toward protesting, or maybe especially if it's leaning toward protesting, the objective of the debriefing is to obtain information. And if a contract comes out swinging or guns blazing, that's not going to be conducive to getting information from the other side. And then the fourth thing that contractors should keep in mind is that they're not going to win the contract back at the debriefing. Now, that may or may not happen after a protest, but it's certainly not going to happen right there at the debriefing. Next slide, please. So who should be there? Now, ideally, contractors want people there who are intimately familiar with the offer and the deliverables that the contractor expected to provide. So proposal writers, and then for deliverables, the person that was expected to manage the production process, like program managers or program administrators. Now, it also may make sense to bring a company decision maker, like the CEO or president, if it's possible, or other senior executives. And this demonstrates a commitment to the customer, and it shows how seriously the company takes the relationship or building a relationship. But also, again, thinking about the next opportunity, the debriefing experience may be educational for that decision maker who will sign off on the next offer or proposal. So it may be helpful to hear from the customer itself why it's important to include X, Y, or Z, or why it's important to devote certain resources to the delivery of the product or service that the agency may need again in the future. Next slide, please. So what about bringing outside counsel? Should a contractor bring its own lawyers? In generally, it shouldn't. Bringing outside counsel to a debriefing may cause the agency or the contracting officer to immediately feel defensive and to clam up. And again, contractors should want information to flow as freely as possible during the debriefing. Now, the only time that bringing outside counsel may be advisable is if there is already a pending dispute or a protest. But even then, contractors need to weigh carefully whether the presence of counsel is actually necessary or whether it's going to be an impediment. Next slide, please. So one thing that contractors should avoid is leaving the session early. Contractors should stay for the whole thing. First, it's bad form to storm out of a debrief. But also, contractors shouldn't walk out because they may miss important information. And the consequences of missing that information can be fatal for a protest. Now, there is an infamous GAO case out there in which two protesters walked out and terminated a debriefing early. And they later filed a protest that was based on information that they obtained later. But the GAO decided that it was untimely. Now, the background here is that contractors generally have an obligation to diligently pursue information that might give them grounds for a protest. So they can't just sit back and wait for that information to fall into their laps. Well, in the case of Franz Rubenbauer, the GAO ruled that if the contractors had stayed for the rest of the debrief, the contracting officer was prepared to give them the information that they later found out about. So their protest was determined to be late because it was based on information that the protesters could have learned a lot sooner. So again, don't walk out on the agency debriefing. Next slide, please. So the last thing we'll touch on is what contractors should do after the debriefing. And one thing they should do is consider conducting a post debrief session. And at that session, they can review their notes to piece together all of the information that they received. Contractors can also compare their impressions of the information that they received. So for example, an agency may have said outright, or in not so many words, that any perceived defects, even if they are cured, are not going to be sufficient to win the contract back. So in other words, even if, let's say, a contractor wins the protest on the one or two issues that it thinks the agency got wrong, and even if it gets a second review of its proposal, the contractor is still not going to come out on top. Well, if there is a consensus by the folks who were there that the agency was saying this, either directly or indirectly, a contractor may think more carefully about whether spending time or resources on a protest is worth it. Now, contractors should also ensure the accuracy of the information that they receive to make sure that the information that was presented by the agency accurately reflects the facts that were laid out in the proposal or during the solicitation process. And I think the most important thing that contractors can do after a debrief is analyze what they heard and saw and determine if the information that they received might actually help them improve the proposals that they submit in the future. And then lastly, if a contractor believes that it may want to protest the agency decision, it should consult outside counsel, particularly given what can be very short deadlines for bringing those protests. Well, that about wraps up my presentation. I want to thank everyone for joining me today. And if you have any questions, my information is on the next slide.
Thank you so much, Mark, for joining us. If you have any questions for Mark, you can go ahead and email him with all your questions. And this concludes the webinar. Thank you.